Beginning to read at the very first verse, the story of the Gadarene demoniac. Now, before we read this, if you have heard that demons are not real, that they're a figment of some crazy religious person's imagination, I want you to listen very carefully to this passage of Scripture. That's not the subject for tonight, by the way, but it may minister to somebody. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, for those that believe that the physical manifestations of demon oppression, possession, and torment are not the work of demon spirits or evil spirits at all, but rather are psychological disorders and disturbances, we'll have to deal with this passage of Scripture, which indicates that all of a sudden, when Jesus commanded this psychological disturbance to come out of the man, that the psychological disturbance went into 2,000 hogs. And the 2,000 hogs were all of a sudden psychologically disturbed to the point where they ran wildly over the side of a hill and into the sea and were all killed. This man, the Word of God says, was demonized. He was not psychologically deranged, he was demonized. That same kind of work is going on today. That's not the subject for the message tonight, but just a side, something on the side there for somebody that may need that. What I want to share with you tonight are the words of Jesus to this man after he was delivered and healed. The Scripture says in verse 18, when he was come into the ship, that is Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He said, Jesus, I want to be with you. You've done a tremendous and wonderful and beautiful work in my life. You've delivered me out of the clutches of these filthy demons. There were many of them, legion, the demon spoke out of this man's mouth. He said, there's not just one of us in here. We're many. Our name is Legion. This poor man lived among the gravestones in the cemetery. He ran naked through the tombstones. They wouldn't let him in the city. You understand why? They would bind him with chains and with irons and fetters to try to hold him. And the power that was in him was so strong that it broke all those things, and he had escaped again out of the city and run back in the cemetery again. He had all the people frightened and terrorized around every time they saw him. Who? But Jesus spoke the word. And he said, "Thou unclean spirit, come out of him." And he came out. The man gloriously, wondrously, beautifully set free from the powers of the devil. The word says all of a sudden now that he is sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Jesus had done a beautiful, wonderful work for him. But he hadn't done any more for him than he's already done for you if you have been delivered out of Satan's clutches and have been translated into the kingdom of God. If you're a new creature in Christ, if you are born again, then Jesus has done more for you than he did for this poor, miserable, demonized man. You understand what I'm saying? The man said to him, "Jesus, I've never seen or experienced anything like this. I want to be with you. I want to go with you wherever you go. I want to sit at your feet. I want to listen to you. I want to see the miracles that you're doing. I want to be with you every minute of every day." Jesus said, "No." He said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." He said, "No, you don't come with me. You go home. You go see the people that know you best, the ones that you know. You present yourself to them, living evidence and proof of the power of God in Jesus Christ. And you tell them, not what's wrong with them, but what God has done for you. You be a living witness, you be a living praise, and men will see in you me." And he departed. Many of us don't want to do that. God saves us, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. He heals us, he delivers us, he delivers us from all the kinds of garbage that would bind us and hold us in captivity. And immediately we want to go on the evangelistic circuit. God says, "Go to your own home. Go to your own friends and family. Go to the people that know you best and tell them what God has done." He did. He departed and he began to publish in Decapolis. Now this Decapolis, you see this word in the New Testament, Decapolis, is not a city of Decapolis, but it's a group of 10 different cities. It's kind of like we would say the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Everybody knows what the Twin Cities are. In that day they had Decapolis, it's the 10 cities. And so this man began to go into the 10 cities, into Decapolis, where they knew him, and began to publish there how great things Jesus had done for him. Not what was wrong with the cities, but what Jesus had done for them. And do you see what the result was? All men did marvel. God has a very simple plan for you and I as Christians. It's very, very simple. Now some of you, I want you to hearken back to the days when you were first saved. When you were first filled with God's Holy Spirit, when the fire of God first burned in you, many of you were happier then than you have been since. Do you know why? You were telling everybody that would listen what Jesus had done for you. You were sharing with everybody that would give you a few minutes' time about this glorious, wondrous, beautiful, precious Christ who had set you free. Over in the book of John, in the 12th chapter, I believe, we see another example of how this principle works, this principle of sharing with others what God has done for you and for me. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead in the previous chapter. Beginning to read in chapter 12, verse number 17. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. Do you know what it means to bear record? It means to bear witness. It means to give testimony. It means to give evidence. I saw it. I was there. I saw the man come out of the grave with the clothes wrapped around him. He did stink. He had been in there for 4 days. I was there, fellow. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw him. He was living and breathing, but he'd been buried there for 4 days before this man came from Nazareth. I saw it. It says they bear record. They testified on behalf of Jesus Christ and what he'd done. Now listen to the next few verses and see what happens. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. That's what we want, isn't it? Don't you want the world to go after Jesus? Don't you want the world panting after Jesus Christ? This is how it's done. This is how it's done. This is how your mothers and fathers and your sons and your daughters, your brothers and your sisters, your neighbors and your employers and your employees, your friends at school and your friends in the neighborhood, the people that you come in contact with in the stores, this is how they're going to come panting after Jesus, is when you bear record with your mouth and with your life the power of God for you. He'll do the rest. And there were certain Greeks, I love this, among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we heard about this man. We heard what he's done. We've heard of his teaching and of his miracles. We've heard of his love and of his power. We've heard of his tender grace and his mercy, at the same time his majesty. Sir, we would see Jesus. What would you give to have someone who is lost come to you and say, George, I would see Jesus. Show me Jesus. Vera, show me Jesus. I'd like to see Jesus. Al, show me Jesus, Al. I want to know this Jesus. Bruce, show me to Jesus. I want to know this Jesus. Steve, show me Jesus. What would you give? Huh? To fill that kind of hungry heart with the bread of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no greater service in the kingdom of God than that. Sometimes what we're trying to do is, some of us make the mistake of trying to force the gospel of Jesus Christ down the throat of somebody that has not seen enough evidence to know whether they want it or not. Now that won't do you or them or the cause of Christ any good. The Word of God says that they bear record to what Jesus had already done. They declared what Jesus had done for them. And then, the Greeks came out of the crowd. The foreigners. They weren't in Greece. They were in Jerusalem, beloved. The foreigners came out of the crowd and say, hey, Philip, you know this guy, don't you? I want to see him. We would see Jesus. In Matthew 5, verse number 14, Jesus himself talked about it. He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'll tell you how I came into the kingdom of God. I saw this lady right here had something extra super special, and I'd known her for a long, long time. And I saw this lady right here who had something extra, extra special, and I'd known her long enough to know that she'd got something new. And I knew some others that I don't see here right now who had found something in this man Jesus that I had never seen before nor heard of. But I saw it in flesh. I saw it in life. I saw these lights without any bushel baskets on them. I saw the glory of God in them. And I said, I want it. The Lord ministered to me out of Matthew 5:8. He said in the Beatitudes, this verse of Scripture, and this became personal to me, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be satisfied. And I want you to know tonight, friend, if you are hungering or thirsting after God's righteousness, the promise of God to you is you will be satisfied. Now, you can be satisfied tonight if you will open your life and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be satisfied tonight if you're already a child of God, if you will open your life and allow His Holy Spirit to just flood your being. You'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied tonight if you will allow the name of Jesus and the authority that's in that name and the power of the Holy Spirit to drive out of your life that which displeases God and that which troubles and binds you. Or you can be satisfied tomorrow night, or you can be satisfied next week, or you can be satisfied when you're 80 years old if you make it that long. The fact of the matter is this: God is ready to satisfy the longing in your heart if you're hungering and thirsting after Him when you're ready. I like to say He's like Delta Airlines, that He is ready when you are. But you see, that's right. That's right. He'll not run over you like a steamroller, but He sure will meet you on your knees. Glory to God. I've never seen my God fail a single person who earnestly sought Him by faith. I've never seen Him miss. I've never seen Him fail. I've never seen Him say, no, not you. I'm going to do this one. I've never seen Him do that. Have you? And He never will either, because He's no respecter of persons. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Praise God. Praise God. In Acts the first chapter, Jesus is talking with His disciples. Just before the ascension, just before He rises in the air to ascend to His Father. And He said this very significant thought that bears on what we're sharing tonight. Verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, when you come into my kingdom, when I set you free from the power of the oppressor, when you join the family of God by being born again, receiving me as your Lord and Savior, when you experience this new life that I'm going to give you, when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost into your life, He said, you will be my witnesses. Now, He didn't say, I want you to be my witnesses. He said, you will. It's not a maybe thing. You are not a witness for Jesus 3 hours a day or 30 minutes a day or 20 hours a day. If you're a Christian, beloved, you are a witness for Him every minute of every day, no matter where you go. You're a witness in your home. You're a witness in your car. You got a hallelujah, Jesus is Lord on your license plate. And you bless somebody out because He cut you out. He looks down there, sees that Jesus. See? Didn't really make a change in your life, did He? What kind of a witness is that? Jesus said, go and show what great things God has done for you. He didn't say, go and show how little you've changed. The Word says, we are witnesses for Him. No matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, we witness for Jesus. We've said time and time and time and time again, and I believe God would have us to continue saying it until we all know it. Realize it is the only way that the world is ever going to see Jesus Christ is if He sees Him in you and if He sees Him in me. That's the only way. Jesus is not appearing on a regular basis to the heathen of this world. He appeared once unto salvation. Now He says, you are the light of the world. So don't put a bushel basket over yourself. Go on out and shine. The kids sing the song. Rise, shine, give God the glory, glory. Is that the song? Something like that? Rise, shine, give God the glory, glory. Huh? What's that mean? That's not just a cute little ditty. That means rise and shine. You're the light of the world. You're Jesus Christ, you see, incarnated in the flesh. You are the only way that anybody would ever see Jesus. I want someone to say to me one day, Vic, I saw something in you that I just hadn't seen in other people before, and I found out it was Jesus. That's how I came to the Lord. Wouldn't you want God to say, and wouldn't you want someone to be able to say that about you? I saw Jesus in you, and I knew then that He was real. I knew then that He would do for me what He did for you. Praise God. Praise God. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think that my God, by the power of His Spirit, is operating in me to bring other people into the kingdom. That thrills me. I'm just excited with the knowledge and the assurance that God Himself is working in me to show the nature of Jesus to others so that they might come in. Is that because I'm something special? No. It's because He's, hallelujah, He's everything. He's everything special. And that's His way. That's His plan. It thrills me to be in partnership with Almighty God to be bringing more sons and more daughters into the kingdom. How about you? Huh? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, or set God apart in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear or reverence. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. Why are you like you are? Why doesn't that tear you up like it tears up the rest of us? How can you be so calm in the face of this mess? Always be ready to give to every man that asketh you the reason for your hope. Well, it's Jesus. Let me tell you what He's done for me, friend. Let me tell you what He's done in my life, how He's changed me. While you're there in 1 Peter, turn to chapter 2, verse 9. We keep coming back to this verse of Scripture. How many of you who are here tonight were with us in the very first worship service that Water of Life had at the EMC building, the very first one we had? How about that? About less than half. That's, praise God. Praise God. The Lord gave that day this scripture. And from time to time, he keeps bringing it back. Chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye, and I believe God speaking not only to the entire church, but I believe him speaking in a special way to us. I sense that in my spirit. I know he's talking to the whole church. I know he's talking to the entire body of Christ. But you know, God can speak his word to you personally. And it just comes alive. That's God's rhema word, when it just comes alive in your heart. And this verse of scripture is that rhema for me concerning the ministry here. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's it all about, Alfie? Before the rocks cry out, I just have to praise him. Before all of nature rises up and shouts, praise the Lord, I've got to do it. You see, one day all of nature will do it when it's redeemed. Romans 8 says that the whole of creation groaneth in travail, waiting for the redemption. One day all of this creation will be redeemed. It'll all be bought back. It'll be all like God made it in the first place. And the little lambs who are right now running and hiding away from the wolves and the coyotes and so on, they won't have to do that. They'll be able to praise God because they'll be able to lay down with the wolves. See? But I've already been redeemed. Therefore, before all of creation shouts, I've got to. I have to. I just have to. It would be so unnatural for me not to praise and shout and glorify my God. Unfortunately, some folks don't like that. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I know what God has done for me. And if you give me 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you as much of it as I get in there in that period of time. Always be ready to make a defense, to explain. And then one last scripture, and then we're going to close, is in the 40th Psalm. This really touched me last Sunday evening when Hope of Glory was here, and Bubba Chambers shared this verse of scripture. I'd never seen this before, and it just blessed me so. It really ministered to me in the Spirit. Psalm 40, verse number 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, that means, and reverence God, and shall trust in the Lord. When God touches your life, he does put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto... See, it's natural. If you're a Christian, the natural thing for you to do is to praise God. That's the most natural thing for you to... That's more natural than anything. It's more natural than eating and sleeping. The praise of God will rise up in your throat. And you'll have to push it down. You will have to decide not to go to church. You will have to decide not to say hallelujah. Now, once you've decided to do that a number of times, you get hardened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it becomes easier, you see, to repress it the next time, and the next, and the next, and the next. But I say unto you that when you're born again, when God has touched your life in the Spirit, the most natural thing for you to do is praise him and worship him. Unfortunately, oftentimes we allow the enemy to rob us on one of God's richest blessings. We think that maybe it's hokey to praise God. Or we think we ought not to do it in certain places. We don't find time every day just to worship and bless our Heavenly Father. The Word says that if we will yield to the natural ministry of the Holy Spirit that's in us, he says other people will see the joy on your face. They will hear the praise coming from your mouth. And they will reverence God and put their trust in him. they'll be saved. In other words, they'll come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How's that going to happen? Because we preach condemnation to them? Is it going to happen because we tell them how miserable they are? Is it going to happen because we put them down? We tell them how awful they're living? Is that the way it's going to happen? No. No, that is not the way. That is not the way. The way it is done is to go among thy friends and tell them what great things God hath done for thee. Very simple, isn't it? Very simple. Does not require an education. Doesn't require anything except a willing heart and a willing mouth. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight that you have put this wonderful praise in our hearts and that it bubbles and bubbles and bubbles and bubbles and bubbles, desiring to come out. And that as we allow it to just flow out of our spirit, flow out of our mouths, it not only blesses you, and it not only blesses us, hallelujah, but it causes brothers and sisters to be born into the kingdom of God. We're beginning to see, Father, more and more clearly why in these last days this tremendous release of praise and worship and this significant emphasis upon praise and worship within the church, we see what you're doing. For that's been your way all along, but we missed it. We see also, Father, more and more clearly why the enemy struggles so strenuously against any form of praise or free worship, why he wants to bind services and even shut them down, why he wants to destroy every vestige of praise, because it is the greatest weapon that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for the way that you're sharing these truths with us and for what we are seeing. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and for the opportunity to praise you freely and openly. And thank you also, Father, for an abundance of brothers and sisters who feel the same way. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God who has been freed by the power of Jesus, who's been set upon the higher ground.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Free. Free, free. Free to praise and worship and serve you. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name. Be open before the Lord for a few moments.